This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Dolphins show here on the Team 980, always live as well on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn Radio to YouTube at the Team 980. And there's a pretty big scandal brewing at the NFLPA offices. In fact, there's a lot of scandals. It's multi-layered, to say the least, and one of the lead reporters on it is going to join us today for Not My Beat.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
Kaylin Kaler is with us. She, along with our friend Don Van Natta, have written a series of pieces now for ESPN, exposing a pretty big story within the NFL, and specifically the NFLPA. Kaylin, thanks for your time. Thanks for your reporting. I'm excited to dive into this with you.
Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. So Lloyd Howell, the executive director of the NFL Players Association, he seems like he's in a bit of hot water here. There's been a lot of stories about him over the last couple of months. There are some investigations into the NFLPA's finances. And then there's the Pablo Torre Finds Out episode where Pablo and his team dive into this settlement document that alleges that NFL owners conspired to suppress player salaries, and then he hid that full document from players. And now you have, Kaylin, this story that you and Don wrote that came out this morning about how he is also working for the Carlyle Group, a consulting firm that many in the DC area will be familiar with. And that's super weird. It'd be weird in general, because like NFLPA executive director is a full-time gig, but the Carlyle Group is also now working to potentially buy part of an NFL franchise. There is a lot here. Where did you dive in to this story? What is the thing that was the hook for you, whether it was a tip, whether it's someone calling you, whether it's the Pablo podcast? Like, when did you get involved in this story, and in what capacity?
Yeah, so actually, this goes back almost 3 years. I actually broke the news that the PA was suing the league for collusion, that Lee Smith had filed this grievance back in October of 2022. So I've been paying attention to it ever since then. And then when Pablo, I kept asking, like, what happened with it? What happened with it? What happened with it? And I was hitting, you know, I was getting stonewalled at every point. And actually, I think I made calls about it in April to be like, hey, did we ever see the decision? Did anybody ever see this decision? Because Florio, I believe it was Florio, Mike Florio with Pro Football Talk, who had reported that the PA lost the grievance, and that's all we knew. But then 2 weeks ago, Pablo Torre got the full 61-page decision. And from there, I was like, okay, wow. Now we have a lot to work with, because we can see what was actually said, what the arbitrator actually decided in this decision. And a lot of it was really interesting from a union point of view. There were texts from owners that looked weird. You know, the Chargers owner texted the Cardinals owner thanking him for the contract he did with Kyler Murray, because the Chargers owner was going to have his own contract with Justin Herbert coming up next, and he appreciated that Michael Bidwell didn't guarantee a ton of money to Kyler Murray. there were emails from the management council and Roger Goodell that showed that the management council had presented to owners and encouraged them to reduce guaranteed money in player contracts, telling them that would be a smart choice. So all of that was really interesting to see. And so Don and I started digging into it at that point when Pablo got the decision, because we were wondering, well, why didn't the NFLPA publish this decision? Why didn't they share it with the media? Why didn't they, you know, who did they share it with? And then we found out from sources that the PA had not even shared the decision, like copies of the decision, the full decision, with their player executive committee or with their player representatives, the 32 players that are nominated from each club. Those important members of the union did not know the details of this grievance, decision. All they knew was the PA had lost. And we thought that was really interesting. So then we learned that the NFL and the NFLPA had entered into a confidentiality agreement about this decision. The parties agreed they would not publicize, they would not publish the copies of this decision, and it would remain private. And in the CBA, if you read the CBA, in the section of system arbitration and confidentiality, it says that the player executive committee and player representatives are among the group of people, along with senior executives of the NFL and the NFLPA and the member clubs who are associated with the grievance. They are among the groups of people that are allowed inside this like confidentiality circle. But in this case, they were not. And so we wanted to find out what was going on here. And in the course of reporting about the confidentiality agreement, we learned that the NFLPA planned to appeal the grievance. We reported that yesterday, and they plan to file an appeal on this grievance. And then we learned that the NFL is going to be filing a claim to recoup legal fees from the union. And then we learned that Lloyd, as you mentioned, in addition to being the executive director, is also a part-time consultant working for the Carlyle Group. And when he took the job, it was before he was the union executive director. It was about 3 months before. And that was at a point in time when the Carlyle Group had not yet been approved by the NFL to invest in NFL clubs. That happened last August. But when I talked to Jim Quinn, who was a former outside counsel for the PA, he represented the PA for about 25 years. And honestly, he was outraged by learning this about Lloyd. He said he would have expected Lloyd to resign from the Carlyle Group position as soon as he became the executive director of the PA, because he said, in his experience, he represented the PA when Gene Upshaw and Dee Smith were the executive directors. He said those two never were able to get paid for outside work. That was just not an ability that they had. He said it's because their job is to represent the players, and that is their first and foremost job. And right now, it seems like the optics, the perception of the union director being a part-time consultant for a private equity firm is bad enough, but then the private equity firm is able to invest in an NFL club is even worse. And Jim Quinn, I'm just going to read a quote he said because it was really interesting. He said, "It would be an outrageous conflict for the head of a labor union to have an interest in a third party that is aligned with the NFL. The relationship between a labor organization and the employer organization is adversarial by definition. And as a result, as a leader, you have to be absolutely clear and clean as to having even no opinion of conflict."
That seems pretty logical to me. And what we have here, yeah, Kaylin, is like a Russian nesting doll of NFLPA nonsense. This feels like the doll on the very inside, or maybe the one on the very outside. But I want to go all the way back to the initial issue here, which is the lawsuit. And then we'll get to some of the other stuff with Howell, et cetera. But this initial lawsuit, which is you broke years ago at this point, is on the heels of the Deshaun Watson contract, where the Browns, very stupidly from a football analysis standpoint, nevertheless, the precedent-setting nature of it, give Deshaun Watson a fully guaranteed contract. And the league ultimately finds ways to say, and this is in the reporting, the reporting that Pablo did that you guys have also now seen in this 61-page document, that the league was like, hey, don't do that. No other owner. Please do not give players guaranteed money. That also seems like a very logical thing to want. like if you're an owner and the way the NFL salary cap is structured, that it's like, yeah, the void years are really important to making the cap work. It's not like players aren't making a lot of money. So when you look at that document and you think about the PA now appealing the finding that there was no collusion, even though there's a lot of evidence clearly that there it wasn't clean, what do you make of that initial or the chances of appeal and what that could mean for the league? Like, how threatening is that for the league?
It's hard to say because the PA did not give us any information about what the nature of the appeal is, or even specifically what it is within it that they're appealing. I mean, obviously they didn't win, but we don't know the specifics of what this appeal entails. And they gave us one, you know, they just didn't give us anything as far as to what this appeal is. We only know from a source familiar with the situation that they are in fact appealing. And so the nature of the appeal, we don't know. And so I can't say exactly how serious this would be, but like in conversations that I've had with, you know, people who have worked in the union and who are experts in this area, I mean, there was so much in that decision that the arbitrator chose to include and is now public and involving communications with the league and even Goodell and the owners. And that the discovery in the original grievance was limited to the three quarterbacks, Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson, and Kyler Murray. And if there is an appeal, and if you were able to file more grievances off of it, you know, you could expand it. Like, I think people wonder all the time, what about running backs? Like, running backs for a long time have felt like teams have been, you know, I guess, working together to limit their compensation, right? Because the position had been devalued for a while. So there is a lot, just this topic of collusion, there's a lot more that if you were to file more grievances or appeal and there's a process further of more discovery, I mean, I think there's a lot more that you could get as far as evidence of collusion between owners and between teams and between the league office. And the next step for this specific scenario is that it's going to go to a three-person panel who's going to rule on it. But, you know, at the time we reported this, the NFLPA had notified the NFL they were going to file the appeal, but they had not actually filed it yet. So we're very early in this process.
Gotcha.
Even though it's 6 months after the decision, like it took right. them a long time to make this action.
And their executive director to be under a lot of fire for not doing things that seem to be in the best interest of the players, which seems like potentially a relevant plot point.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Kaylin Kaler, ESPN investigative reporter, their national NFL reporter, with us here on the Hoffman Show. And I think there's like a whole separate interesting discussion about, I think, some of the where market forces meet collusion. It's like if everybody's trying to do the same thing, as long as they don't collaborate, that's just market forces. If they collaborate to artificially suppress, that's collusion. And that's, again, we could talk about that for probably an hour. But then we'd have a lot of these Russian nesting dolls, so to speak, that we didn't touch. And we need to touch go and figure out more on them. So Lloyd Howell is the guy now at the center of all of this. He is the executive director. He'd be in charge of, you know, leading the potential appeals process. He's in charge of this collusion, potentially to keep this finding away from people that should have seen it based off the CBA points that you referenced earlier. Before all this started to blow up, especially in the last month or so, Caitlin, when you talk to people around the NFL, players, you know, especially like higher ranking players in the PA, about Lloyd Howell, what did they think of him?
Honestly, I didn't. It wasn't like I was hearing from the masses that no one, you know, that there were problems. I wasn't hearing that at all. But also, I wasn't necessarily going into this beforehand asking players what they think of Lloyd. Honestly, this collusion grievance is sort of the first time that I really was like looking into Lloyd's role and how he's managing and directing this union. He was elected in July of 2023. And I would say the thing that I have talked to players about since is his election, because Pablo Torre did a great job of pointing out that JP Treader led a vote. I mean, the players had to vote to approve this, but to change the Constitution, a bylaw in the Constitution, which had to do with the amount of time before an election that the player representatives would learn about the candidates. And the player representatives voted to change that bylaw so that they had, I think they changed it to not knowing who the candidates were in an election to like the time of the vote, essentially.
Right.
So instead of having, you know, I think they had 4 weeks previously, instead of having multiple weeks to ask questions, to do research, to learn about the candidates, the players voted to change it to a very much smaller timeline there for them to know who these candidates are. And the reason they did that, the reason that players told me that JC brought this to them and that they decided it was a good idea is for confidentiality purposes, so that candidates would not remove themselves from the running, because many of these candidates have other jobs. And if they didn't want their other jobs to find out that they were interviewing and trying to leave, essentially. So that was the reason given to players, and the players that I talked to at the time, they thought that was very logical and they didn't have any issues with it. And at the time they thought Lloyd was the best candidate. And now I think is sort of the beginning of where people are starting to question what's going on here, and not even necessarily players. I talked to one former player representative, one current player representative, who both were unsure about the scenario, not particularly with Lloyd's leadership, but just wondering why they had not known the details of this collusion grievance. Both of the players I talked to were hopeful that there is a good reason for it, a pro-player reason for the NFLPA and into this confidentiality agreement with the NFL and choosing to keep the contents of this decision private. Both of the players said, you know, I'm assuming there's a long-term strategy here, but they both expressed that they would like to know what that strategy is, and they would feel better about it if they'd been communicated with. And both of them said that they hadn't received any sort of communication from the union regarding this decision, even after, you know, you would think after the decision leaked, they may hear something from the union, but they both said that they had not heard anything. So as far as players go, that would be what I've heard so far.
So when we look, as Caitlin Kaler, national NFL reporter for ESPN, is with us again, her stories at this point with Don Van Natta on this whole situation, NFLPA corruption writ large, we'll say, or potential corruption writ large, available to read on ESPN.com. And if this interests you, I highly recommend like reading all of the reporting. We need to do a 3-hour show totally with Caitlin to get into all of this. So when you get to the Carlisle Group stuff and you discover this along the way of reporting it, where it's like, well, here's this other conflict of interest. And, you know, Pablo and his podcast, you know, kind of went into a lot of the potential conflicts and weirdness around his election and his relationship with Treader and all of this stuff. As you get into the Carlisle group, like, and you are talking to whether it's the former outside counsel from Wilmer Hale that you referenced earlier, or players, or whoever else you're talking to around this story, was this all new information to them? How shocking is it? And like, ultimately, I guess the question here, Kaylin, is like, are we going to see some kind of, and what methods exist to potentially challenge Lloyd's position here and potentially replace him and get new leadership as the executive director of the PA if enough folks that are in positions of power and players especially think that that's necessary?
So good questions. I would say in a lot of the conversations that I've had, a lot of this has been new information to people that I've talked to, including people who probably should know. Like the player representative I spoke to earlier, he said, you know, it's not, he's like, he can't say for sure that he didn't know about Lloyd and the Carlisle group. He doesn't remember it at all. He said, I remember us when we were, you know, learning about Lloyd to elect him. I remember learning about his career at Booz Allen before he was the union director.
Which, and by the way, Kaylin, I should add real quick, like, that career is incredibly controversial because of some stuff that happened with a whistleblower complaint that also was in your and Pablo's reporting and also is available to read about in, say, the Washington Post or any other major newspaper in terms of the end of his run as CFO at Booz Allen.
Yeah, a lot of interesting things going on there as well. But this player remembered Booz Allen. He remembered talking about Lloyd's role on the GE board, because he does have a role on three corporate boards. And then he didn't remember the Carlisle group, though. He's like, I'm not going to say it never came up, but it's not something that was made such a big deal that I would remember it. So that was interesting. So I would say a lot of the conversations that I've had with people for this story, about this story, since the story came out, a lot of this was news to them, and especially the Carlisle role, the Carlisle group role, that has been really surprising to a lot of people. Like, I've had, you know, I've been texting with a bunch of people and on the phone with a bunch of people today, whether they work for teams or are agents, people in that capacity who are just shocked by that, honestly, are like, oh my God, like what is going on? Just a lot of like questions of like, what is going on at the union? As far as what happens next for Lloyd, I mean, we reported that the executive committee has retained a law firm, Wilmer Hale. Last month hired Ronald C. Matchin of the law firm Wilmer Hale to work with a special committee of players within that executive committee to review Howell's activities as the executive director. So, you know, that is an investigation of sorts internally. They've hired a law firm to do that. So I think that, you know, says a lot about how serious the union, the executive committee is taking this, where, you know, they've hired a lawyer to help investigate and inspect Lloyd's activities as executive director. So I don't know how long that is going to take. I don't know if we even know the full scope of everything that this Ronald Matchin is going to be looking at. But I think that is the next step, clearly, that the union is taking here. And after that, I actually meant to look this up in the Constitution earlier today and haven't done it yet, as far as what is the process for removing an executive director of the union and if it's ever happened before. And off the top of my head right now, I don't have an answer to that, but I do plan to like do a little bit of reading about that today, because I don't know if that's in the cards here, but it seems like, you know, if there's investigating him, then anything's possible, probably.
Yeah, and I will say I don't know if there has been. I feel like most of my life there has been one of two guys running it, Gene Upshaw or Demora Smith. Although there was someone apparently, just a quick Google search, Richard Berthelsen from 2008 to 2009. I don't remember Richard's run at all. I don't know whether that was an interim thing. So maybe there's your answer. But yeah, for literally all but like five of the last 30, almost 40 something years. It's been one of two guys, so definitely not a lot of room for removal, certainly unprecedented. And Kalen's been doing a great job reporting on all of this. Again, there's so much to bite off here. So make sure you read the full context of everything, ESPN.com. Kalen, this was great. Thanks so much for joining us and continued luck in finding out more things that we don't even know have gone wrong yet.
Thank you so much.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.